In the secret prayer of today's Mass, Father prays, "May thy sacraments, O Lord, be our safeguard and ever defend us against the attacks of the evil one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." It's no secret. The sacraments are indeed the safeguard of a Christian against the devil's attack. When you feel weak, come to Holy Communion. Come during the week. Daily Communion, which now becomes so much easier with all of the Masses that we have on offer each day listed in the bulletin, Daily Communion is the ideal for a Catholic. If some temptation is troubling you, try to get to confession and just confess it. That gives you a particular strength against falling. But you know, you could be a daily communicant, and still there would be hours of the day or the night when Satan may snatch your soul away from you almost unawares. Is there any other way whereby, this is a real question. Is there any other way whereby heaven could help us? There are many who have never received their sacraments at all. There are many today, of course, who cannot receive them or who haven't received sacraments maybe for a long time, because the valid sacraments are awfully rare anymore. God in His goodness, yes, does give us another way. We teach our children right away, don't we, to make a devout sign of the cross and to say, bowing our head, the holy name of Jesus or of Mary, today's feast day, and especially as enshrined in the Hail Mary with the Our Father and our meditation, it makes up to the rosary. These are sacramentals, little baby sacraments, whereby the soul is stirred to devotion, and heaven is moved to help. Father Siordia once told me that there are three chief motives for people going towards black magic or witchcraft, something like that. It's either love or money or revenge. And in the dark world of the devil, there are prescribed candles of certain colors and incantations to be used. Some things never change. Later on this month, on the 26th, the Church commemorates two martyrs of the early centuries named Cyprian and Justina. I thought I would tell you their story this morning. Cyprian, as a boy of 7, was dedicated by his parents to the devil. And that still goes on today. And he grew up then with the knowledge of magic and the black arts and the rest of it. At a certain point, he met and was smitten with a very beautiful Catholic girl, a virgin, and her name was Justina. He tried his very best by evil means to make her to fall. Justina, for her part, felt the full force of that attack and temptation. But she didn't fall for it. She defeated the devils and put them to flight. How? By the sign of the cross. And St. Gregory Nazianzen says she made a beautiful personal prayer to Mary. She said to our Blessed Mother that she is a virgin and Our Lady is a virgin too, and that therefore she knew that she would help her. And then she fortified herself by means of the three means that we are still supposed to be using today, this week. That is to say, fasting. We have our Ember Days this week. And prayers. We have the great prayer of the Rosary and all of these beautiful feast days this week. And then tears. Friday, Saturday, we have the feast of Our Lady of La Salette, who weeps. She cries tears because we do not. Well, Cyprian, seeing that all of his efforts were unavailing and that God was more powerful than the devil, began to think about leaving Satan's service and The devil, to keep him, as he often does with people, cast depression and darkness upon his soul. The devil often used depression that way. But God inspired him with just one thought, to look up an old school friend of his, whose name was Eusebius, who had gone on to become a priest. Well, Eusebius met him, and he took him to Mass. Now, this is a good catechism lesson for the children. He was only allowed back then to go to the Mass of the Catechumens. What is that? And how is the Mass of the Catechumens different from the Mass of the faithful? But just at the beginning of the Mass then, he was so taken with the reverence of everyone and the beauty of the church and the prayers that he received the grace of conversion. And he went home and he burned his books of black magic, and he gave away his money to the poor, and he signed up for catechism classes, and in due time he was baptized by the bishop. Cyprian and Justina were not meant in God's plan ever to fall in love or ever to marry and live together, but they were meant to die together. They had that grace. And today and for eternity, their names are linked in the calendar of the Catholic Church as martyrs. Do you know, as Justina did, do you know the power of Mary's name? Partly, it is perverse pride on the part of the devil, which makes Our Lady so powerful. St. Bridget saw that evil spirits flee at the mere mention of Mary's name in prayer. They run away rather than that they should be subject to what they view as a mere creature, Mary. That she should dominate over them in any manner is insupportable to their pride. Her holy name, though, is so holy because it's all humility. That leads this virgin to an extraordinary prudence in her life. Indeed, the mystic of Agreda always refers to Our Lady as the most prudent virgin, or the most prudent queen. Her prudence is proved by how she adheres to the divine plan for her. She says, "Be it done unto me, fiat mihi, according to thy word." Our Lady proves the truth of Scripture. The obedient shall speak of victory. But isn't it odd what people will do, what lengths they'll go to because of love? It's easy for us to laugh at the notion of love potions or incantations or candles. They are nonetheless real. But unless, my friend, you know and are prudently following God's plan for your life and God's principles, you are in the same odd and very dangerous situation. St. Bonaventure explains that the devil loves darkness. He's in a dark room and he's hiding under the bed. He truly is. But when you invoke the name of Mary, she's the dawn. She brings Christ, the light, into your life to dissipate that ignorance or superstition that may hold you bound in his service. Now, say, for example, today, you are a young person, and you feel called to the married state, that God wants you one day to be married. That should be your vocation in life. And say, too, that you have met someone who is attractive. And say, too, that you, both of you, share the same holy Catholic faith. And this is a wonderful thing. So then you both settle down to long years of what they disingenuously refer to as courtship. Right? Wrong. All that is, that kind of courtship, is just going steady by another name. That is to say, a long, close company keeping without any prospect of marriage in the reasonable future. This offends purity because it's a needless occasion of sin, and it offends prudence too, good sense, occasion of sin, and also a bad example to others. We have to recall what our Catholic principles are. The purpose of courtship is to select a spouse that God has chosen for you when the time comes for you to be married. That is to say, there is enough maturity and as well enough money and means in order to marry and then to start, should it be God's will, a family. This is what courtship is. This is the definition of courtship. It's time for you to marry, so you prudently pray and then, you know, you socialize and date and look around for an appropriate spouse for your life. This is courtship by Catholic principles. It's not staking out a good one years in advance and you put your name on that person so you can get your dibs in and no one else can steal that person from you. Nor is it satisfying an attraction, which may be, after all, an infatuation, which in the foreseeable future could not lead to marriage. And this is due to the little matter, I mean, of facts and of figures, college and loans and great debts and no savings. Even if, and that's an if, even if the maturity for marriage be present. Young people, two thoughts for you today. First of all, don't play around. Don't play at courtship when you cannot consider marriage yet. And I don't mean daydream about it. Don't play with each other's affections by a dangerous emotional intimacy. Hours spent talking to each other in person or on the phone or emails or tweeting or something of the nature. Don't play with each other's bodies. You have no right to that temple of the Holy Ghost until holy matrimony. Oh, for those who have just about set the date, perhaps a chaste and a quick kiss might be permitted. But you're not allowed. Don't play around. No canoodling, no pawing each other, no sitting on top of each other, no hand-holding, and no kissing. Do you dare lay a selfish hand on a tabernacle which houses God Himself, and then you call this sacrilege love? It's not. Let's call it by its name. It's lust. All of the above is playing with the devil. That can only lead to the disaster of playing at marriage and all that that ensues. But secondly, young people, do play still while you may. That is to say, I know you're serious about your studies and your work and trying to save money, and God love you, you're serious still about helping out those in need and charity, and your contributions here at church, assisting us in different ways, singing and serving and the rest. But remember, all of these are wonderful things to do during these years of still growing up. The time will come, and soon enough, when you will no longer be able to play. You might have to be working two jobs and all of the rest of it. But now is the time for boys still to be boys. Go out and play with the fellows and toss around a ball or go hunting or fishing or something like that. Boys, don't worry about girls and girly things too soon. You'll have, if you're married, a whole lifetime to figure out women and how they think and how you can keep them happy and all the rest of it. But for right now, why borrow worry and grief? Enjoy yourself. You're not married yet. Don't play at it. Girls, the same goes for you. You don't have to be worrying about what boys are thinking of you all of the time. Think rather of pleasing God. Girls, be close to your mothers and keep them happy and be an active member of your family and all of the rest. The time will come when you'll be having to worry about pleasing one man, but not yet now and not yet later in God's good time. And all of you, boys and girls together, my goodness, never be so enthralled with your beloved's family, which may one day be your own, that you should forget the family that God has given you. Marriage means maturity, and this is just one example of it. Marriage is about building up families and gaining a son or a daughter. It's not about losing one. Parents, be parents. Set rules and enforce them for our long-term Lotharios. Sometimes, you know, you just have to tell them to put a lid on it and that enough is enough. You have to set limits. And if they must be over all of the time, let it be rather as friends of the family than as almost son-in-laws or daughters-in-law already. And let them benefit, too, from your family. Be edifying. Parents, don't be shy about having a little talk, which those little talks do an awful lot of good for a boyfriend or for a girlfriend. Remember, if our young people have too much time on their hands together, then they will have too much hands-on time, and under the circumstances, just about any time alone is too much. These are the Catholic principles of prudence, and I beg you to adhere to them. Saint Justina recognized she was in danger. She called on the most prudent Virgin Mary. If you are not following God's plan, you are in danger. Call on Mary today on her feast for protection. The sacraments are indeed our safeguard. May Mary protect our young people until the safeguard of holy matrimony, the sacrament, is theirs. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.